we think of a few of our favorite things, no, not the Christmas song, a few of my favorite things. I'm not talking about a few of those kind of favorite things, but when you think of a few of the favorite things that you like to talk about, we might think of hobbies or you know, you might think of, hopefully everyone in this group would say, well, Jesus is one of the favorite things I like to talk about. Or maybe you would say, well, I like to talk about Jesus, but I also like to talk about football. You know, those Cleveland Browns had a great year, you know. Or maybe you're planning on watching the Packers or something. There are things that we enjoy talking about. I know most of you are probably going, you know, I really like to talk about mason jars. No, yeah. Whoop, whoop. Okay, it's just for those of you that don't know, I have a mason jar addiction. So I do like to talk about jars and natural gas lines that used to run across our country. And well, never mind. I can see the boredom rolling into your eyes already. Just not there. When we think of things that we like to talk about, hobbies, cooking, jars, guns, golf, there's all kinds of things that we enjoy talking about. And one of the favorite things that we like to talk about is sorrow. It's one of our favorite things, right? We enjoy talking about sorrow. No? Am I the only one that loves to talk about sorrow? You don't like to talk about sorrow? So, if we don't like to talk about sorrow, why is it that something that God created, it's really has become important to God? Well, let me try to explain. For every action, there's a reaction. For every positive, there's a negative. There's an opposite. For light, there's darkness. For good, there's evil. For country, then there's the city. For man, he made woman. For sorrow, there is joy. So you can't learn joy unless you can experience sorrow as well. Kind of a mind twist there, isn't it? But can there really be joy in sorrow? Can we be joyful in sorrow? When you think of the word sorrow, what kind of thoughts come to your mind? You might think of words that come to your mind like sadness, or heartache, or grief, regret, pain and loss. Sorrow is attached with a lot of things like regret and grief and pain, even suffering. But this morning we're going to look at four types of sorrow that I think we should explore. There's probably more than four, but since there were four that I come up with in my mind and I'm the one preaching, I thought we would just explore those four. And those four are going to be sorrow for self, grief sorrow, regret sorrow, and then joy in sorrow. So let's start with sorrow for self. Helen Keller said, "Self-pity is our worst enemy. And if we yield to it, we can never do anything wise in this world." Now that's a profound statement. Self-pity is our worst enemy. And if we yield to it, we can never do anything wise in this world. Self-pity can happen to any of us. It really can. It can snatch away our confidence. It can sabotage the good that we have set out for ourselves. And it can take control of our lives. It can take control. It's a poisonous member to our growth. But what would you really do when self-pity comes to the point where it's almost paralyzing to you? We have seen that, where people are so caught up in their self-sorrow, their self-pity, that they almost seem to be immobilized. Some people focus on uncomfortable feelings by convincing themselves that they suffer more than anybody else. You know, they suffer more than anybody else. And they take comfort in that. I suffer so much more than everybody else. I have such a hard life. They are so busy counting what they don't have instead of what they can do with what they do have. So busy counting what they don't have instead of what they do have. Focusing on everything that's gone wrong in your life will not only breed self-pity, but it will also cause that emotional paralysis that we talked about. It's difficult to move when you are crippled by negatives and impossibilities. We could call this the Eeyore effect. You know, Eeyore, the Winnie the Pooh crowd. Oh, my tail has fallen off. But I guess nobody will help me put it on. You know, that Eeyore effect where we just are feeling sorry for ourselves and nothing is good for us. There's a quote by Liza Turquest. It says, "Some prisons don't require bars to keep people locked inside. All it takes is their perception that they belong there. They just believe they belong in that misery, behind those bars." Self-pity makes you think of everything that you should turn into favor for you. But life doesn't always favor you. We used to tell the boys, who said life was fair? You know, when your kids are going, that ain't fair. Well, who said life's fair? You know, suck it up, buttercup. Who said life was fair? Self-pity makes you think that way. Successful people know that failure is just a speed bump on the road to success. You are not defined by failures, but you are not a loser when your odds don't turn in your favor either. You only become one of those when you fail to fight back. When you fail to fight, you only become a failure or lose the battle when you quit fighting. Even when, with the untimely death of her husband, Shirley Sandberg said this, that even in the face of the most shocking tragedy of my life, I could exert some control over its impact. She realized that she had the choice of how she was going to respond to the most tragic event in her life. We need to draw strength and inspiration from the people that you value. You also need to draw strength. I need to draw my strength from God. His words are exactly what I need to remind me of the beauty of this life and that the life that He has given me, even with its tragedies, even with its sorrows, there's still beauty in this life. Jeremiah 31:3 says, "Yes, I have loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, I have drawn you. I have drawn you." When you eliminate self-pity from life, you'll face the circumstances with confidence. You don't dwell on the inefficiencies or the heartaches of life. Instead, you treat each heartache and pain as a reminder that something beautiful will come out of this situation. So, in that respect, if we think of it that way, there can be joy in sorrow because we realize that there's something beautiful coming out of this situation, even though it's painful for me. We mentioned the untimely death of Shirley Sandberg's husband. It's a story that I'm really not all that familiar with, but I do appreciate her attitude in the situation. But it does lead us into the next type of sorrow, and that is grief sorrow. I guess we could say that sorrow in many ways is one of the things that we see in the book of Ecclesiastes as Solomon is contemplating life. I do enjoy the book of Solomon. He does have a lot of thoughts on life and he has wisdom. But sometimes he also is like, you know, where are you at, dude? Because it's like... But this is in Ecclesiastes 7. It says, "A good reputation is more valuable than costly perfume. And the day you die is better than the day you were born. Better to spend your time at funerals than at parties. After all, everyone dies. So the living should take this to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, for sadness has a refining influence on us. A wise person thinks a lot about death, while a fool thinks only about having a good time. Did you ever think of sorrow as a good thing? Normally, we don't think of sorrow as a good thing, even though sorrow is kind of a baseline or a foundation that life is built upon. It's a bedrock of things, sort of. But denying painful experiences will not erase painful experiences. The painful experiences are still there. It's still part of us. Allowing yourself to feel the pain and the grief is part of being human. Strong people realize the painful experiences in their lives, but they don't run away from them either. They don't like them. They face them squarely on and bravely head on into them, even though they still feel the sting. There's still a sting in the pain of grief. When we are experiencing sorrow, we certainly may have many erratic emotions. We feel sorrow, and that exposes us to what's really going on. Of course, there is sorrow when it's combined with loss of a loved one, but it also many times brings very mixed emotions. Let me explain it this way. This is something that just happened to me last week. Not necessarily to me, but well, let me just move on. I got a phone call from a friend of mine who's connected with me. He was on my board at Shiloh Park, our Nazarene campground. And Jim had been taking treatments for cancer, ocular cancer. And he informed me that he would no longer be able to be part of Shiloh Park board. His doctors have told him his numbers are going in the wrong way. And that he had maybe days to weeks to live. As I expressed my remorse for Jim and his family, he said, you know, he's okay with it. He's ready to see the Lord, and that he had lived a good life. His only concern was for his wife, Darcy. Both he and Darcy had lost their first spouses to cancer. And now she was going to have to experience it all over again. You see, he had very mixed emotions. There was a bit of joy in knowing that he would soon accomplish the goal of seeing his Savior, the goal he had been anticipating all of his life, a goal that many of us are looking forward to. But then there was a sorrow and grief for his wife that was soon to experience the grief all over again. And it was a grief that he understood because he had experienced it himself. Grief sorrow is most certainly one of the hardest forms of sorrow we can experience, and one that includes many emotions. For those of us who have accepted the Lord as our Savior, we can certainly feel a joy in knowing that we will see our loved ones again. And that brings great comfort, providing they have made the same accepting decisions that we have, that they are already prepared a place in heaven for them. I'm in no way trying to minimize the grief of a personal loss, and it can take a long time to get past such grief. Sometimes it takes a long time to get past grief, to get through it. You will always have those memories. But the pain doesn't have to last. I like this saying that, I'm not sure who penned it, but it says, you may cry a river, but then build a bridge over that river. You know, The pain is there. We will suffer. We will cry the tears. But then build the bridge over top of the river and move forward. The third type of sorrow we'll look at this morning is regret sorrow. When our boys were young and they did something that they thought they might get in trouble for, it was almost without certainty that they would say, "I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do it. I didn't mean to." And without fail, Kim would always say, "Did you mean not to?" Now that's an interesting question. Did you mean not to? The lesson here is clear. You may be sorry for something you've done, but did you take the necessary steps to prevent it from happening? Sorrow is something that people, like the Apostle Paul, is talking to us about today in 2 Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 7, starting with verse 8, he says, "Even if I caused you sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it. Though I did regret it, I see that my letter hurt you, but only for a little while. Yet now I am happy because you were made sorrow, because you were made sorrow, sorry, but because of your sorrow led to repentance. For you became sorrowful as God intended, and so were not harmed in any way by us. Godly sorrow brings repentance and leads to salvation and leaves no regret, but worldly sorrow brings death." We just never think about embracing sorrow because we see it as a bad thing. We're like, "I only want good things in my life," and sorrow really isn't one of them. Even though sorrow brings us into it can bring us back into goodness. Sorrow can bring us back into a place where we once were. I gotta confess, I may wake up some mornings and feel sorrow. I may wake up and have sorrow in my life, something that's come to my mind, something that I'm experiencing or feeling. But I never wake up in the morning thinking, "Yeah, I can't wait to get my cup of coffee. I'm going to go get in my chair and I'm going to start feeling sorrow. I can't wait to see how fast I can start feeling bad. I really want to get into that sorrow, make it." Nobody does that. We don't do that. The Apostle Paul has experienced sorrow in his letters. We read many times through the journeys in the books of Acts. This guy is experiencing suffering and sorrow from all over the place. Not just externally, but also internally. Where there's conflict in the churches and he's trying to hold things together, he's experiencing regretful sorrow. One, because of the way the people had accused him, some of the things they were accusing him of, and then there's regret that they just are not getting along. "These are my churches," he's saying. These people should be getting along. They should be following the Lord. There's regret that they are straying from the message. So we could say here that Paul has experienced plenty of sorrow, but Paul, in his mindset, sorrow doesn't have to be a bad sensation. So let me quote again from Paul in 2 Corinthians, this one little phrase here. It says, "Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death." Godly sorrow brings repentance that leads to salvation and leaves no regret. But worldly sorrow brings death. Okay, so Paul is saying there is a godly sorrow. We might call godly sorrow that brings repentance kind of a sensation of conviction. Sensation of conviction. That sensation we get when we know that we have stepped over the line in some area of our lives. That we have willingly done something, that we did this thing, we regret what we've done, we can see perhaps the repercussions that may be coming our way, maybe in a wave that's just going to overpower us, Maybe we're going to try to slide underneath it and not think nobody sees it. And we can turn into worldly, earthly sorrow because of what might or might not happen, because of what we've done. But there is godly sorrow. A sorrow that tells us that this is not who I am. This is not who I want to be. This is not the way I want this to go. This is not the path that my life should be taking. To enter into godly sorrow, that awareness that should be frustrating and disappointing, it should bring grief. This is an area that should bring grief. It should feel distressing. It should feel like we're losing something important, because we are. When we walk into sin willfully, we should experience the weight of that choice. The choice that we are making. So what is happening here is that we are stopping in its tracks the work of God in our lives. Literally, we're saying sanctification on hold. We're pushing the stop on the forward progress of being transformed. We are halting it willingly and saying, right now, I'm going to do my own thing. Right now, I'm going to follow the path of evil because I want to. I'm going to willingly walk into darkness. I'm going to willingly walk the pathway that leads to death. Okay? If we're going to do that, then we are betraying life. And that really should not feel good. It should not be something that we associate with wholeness or being healthy. It should bring that conviction that we're talking about. That sensation of conviction. And that brings us to the most important part. And that is the joy of sorrow. It should bring us sorrow. Those choices should bring us sorrow. The kind of godly sorrow that leads us away from sin, from darkness, from evil, and results in salvation. So if we're going to walk away from God in some way instead of running toward God, then we should feel sorrow. And hopefully, that sorrow should lead us to repentance. Repentance is to change, to literally change our mind, go in the other direction. We should feel the separation that we don't ever want to feel again. So let's enter in that today. We have no shortage of things to feel sorrow about. But let's focus our attention and awareness on the Holy Spirit's leading. The Holy Spirit that brings us sorrow because we have walked away from life. There's a heavy weight to that when we know we're walking away. Think about what Solomon is saying back in Ecclesiastes. Everyone dies. It's a sobering thought. And Solomon is saying is still the truth. We all will die. That will ultimately be the destination for every one of us. Our faith informs us that there is life beyond this one. And we believe it. I believe it. There is life after this one. But we all of us on this earth will come to a point when we die. Some younger, some older, some surprising, some not. Why would we walk the pathway to death? Foolishness and folly. We should feel sorrow when we walk that path. We are wasting time in this brief moment, as Solomon kind of puts it. It's not a long, indefinite period of time that we get in this human body. And we have to experience life on this planet wisely. We need the Holy Spirit to well up from within us. We've tried to mix light and darkness, but it just doesn't work together. It can become almost part of who we are. It can become commonplace if we've done that long enough. Why waste our life in darkness? We need to invite the Holy Spirit into our life. And yet there is a way. There is a path that leads to life. It's narrow and few find it, but we want to be ones that do find it in that narrow path. This means that we have to pay attention to the path that we are on and where the road is going. Let me say it again. This means that we have to pay attention to the path and where the road is going. If we know we're walking into darkness, then the path only goes into darkness. And at the end of the road, the Scripture teaches us, that leads to death. We want to walk in the road that leads to life. And repentance is the joy in sorrow. Repentance is the joy in sorrow. The Holy Spirit will show us places that we are willingly bringing sorrow on ourselves. And we can willingly walk into the Holy Spirit and follow His path through repentance. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to follow the Holy Spirit in our walk. To be attentive to our path. Joy and sorrow. Yes, through repentance, we have joy and sorrow. Joy and sorrow with regret, this is through repentance. Joy and sorrow with grief. There is joy and sorrow with grief because we know who holds the future. We know who holds the future. There is joy in sorrow. There is joy in regret. There is joy in self-pity because we can reject it. We can learn to walk past it. We can move forward from it. We have a chance to get through it. Would you stand with me, please? I know that many of us are experiencing some form of sorrow, whether it's through grief or whether it's regret, or maybe we've been feeling sorry for ourselves. Maybe you want to just pray about it, and that's fine. The altars are open. I know that it's been kind of, I won't say less used, because I know we pray. But I will say the altars are sanctified. The altars are sanitized. And if you want to pray, go ahead and come. Heavenly Father, I just come to you in this quiet time this morning as we look at our life and see, reevaluate, and analyze the road that we've been walking on. Some of us are experiencing sorrow through grief, and it is part of our humanness to do so. And it's fine. It's expected. It's a part of a process that we need to walk through. And we are so thankful for the knowledge that this place is not our home. That this is just a preparation for the joy that you bring us. But that doesn't mean that those that are left don't experience pain and suffering. Lord, I just pray that you would give comfort in that. Lord, I just pray also for those of us who have walked in self-pity, where it just seems to be nobody suffers like I suffer. Lord, help us to get past that. Help us to realize that that is not the place where you want us to be. And Lord, for those of us who have thought of some things that we regret, some things that we're willingly doing that we know is not in your will, would you help us, Lord, to seek repentance of those things? That you would put us on the path of life again. Help us, Lord, to choose you in all things, great and small. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us and for the provision that you've made, Lord. We have the ability to walk through in sorrow with joy. Not easy sometimes, but your peace, your comfort, they are there. And Lord, I just pray that you would help each one of us, wherever we're at, however we're feeling, to find comfort in the words this morning. And we just thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you very much.